The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, my home department, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
Hello.
You know, there's only 16 weeks in the term, and this is the end of week two. It's freaking me out big time.
I love these kinds of percentages. I see it going up really well. I do this when I'm running. I'm like, I'm 10% done. I'm 12% done. I'm 15% done. Yeah. Sometimes I'm so tired that the math is really challenging. I still fight through it.
No, yeah. Diane, though, you're very, very right. Last year, as plain as the nose on my face, I said to a student I didn't even have, how did your final go? Well, it would have gone better if I hadn't spent most of the night calculating and recalculating how low a score I could get on the final. I'm just like, why did you spend your time doing that?
Yep.
Oh, my. Shaking his head disapprovingly is Professor Dan Maggio from the First Organization.
Hello.
See, you're all like, I don't have to lecture anymore. I don't have to grade
but
anymore.
That's not a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
I never liked grading papers. I never did.
Yeah. Who does?
But you can't do multiple choice in math.
Yeah.
And, or can you in education? Yeah.
I want to know how the exams go, Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies. If they're not multiple choice,
I make them draw everything.
Well, good. That makes sense.
I have them draw things and it's got to be somewhat accurate.
So when you're grading, do you have a rubric?
No.
Per se.
I like it. I don't like it.
Can you look? Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, can you look at it and then instantly assign a grade? Or is there a lot of thought? Like, I mean, does it take you like 2 hours to go through a piece of
art? No, not
at
all. I like it. I don't like it.
75? This looks like a great grading job.
I do it like the Roman Colosseum. I throw them in there. If they survive the lions, thumbs up, thumbs down.
It is a rubric. It's the two-point rubric.
Actually, I've also got the other rubric where put your artwork, mat it. I throw it up in the air. If it lands upright, you pass. It lands down, you fail. That's all.
The heavier papers fall to the bottom
exactly.
of the stairs.
Yeah,
confirming art students' fears.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like buttered toast, you know.
That's right. Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us from the Department of Religious Studies. Hello, Jim. How are you doing? Week two.
So far, this is my fourth meeting today, I think.
Oh, my
God. So this is a meeting?
How dare you refer to this as a meeting?
Well, the last one was a guest lecture, and before that it was a meeting, and before that it was another kind of gathering.
Scheduled events.
Scheduled events.
It's certainly not a catered affair this week.
No.
We got to get someone to work on that.
It's called a vending machine.
We should have, no, we need to add another layer to our scheduler, Dan. Like, who's the, you know, sort of like the shortest straw brings treats? Doesn't need to be a lot.
No. Nope.
Well, like hang spam on a rope in the recording studio and just kind of nod.
Yeah, I know, like the apples.
There's a pretty sight.
I'm sure the technician will love the sounds going through the microphone.
He's looking now,
say. Oh, my gosh. Professor Jason Roach is here from the Department of Communication Studies.
Well, all you young people are probably going to feel really old when I show you this.
KS.
All of our radio listeners.
Wow.
This is a keychain made out of what looks like an old insert from a 45. So it's shaped like a 45, and I did Detroit trivia with my honor students yesterday. This came from the Motown Museum, and they were like...
No idea.
No clue what it could possibly be.
It's a ninja star.
I hesitate to admit that I also could not identify that.
Really?
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Oh, Kendra.
We did have record players, but it was like...
The generation has shifted.
By the time I had started playing music, I was done. I mean, the last song I listened to on a record player was It's a Small World. So... Now I'm done.
Yep. See, now that's really
how unfortunate.
Wow. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I wish that I could be part of that.
Vinyl still
hip, not.
You know, it's coming back.
It's coming back.
I still have 45s at home.
Not 45s, though.
And 33 and a half.
78s are the ones that you can't get.
Professor Diane Manica from I Can Do Whatever I Want department.
It's wonderful to
remembers records. It's very important. I'm guessing... Going all the way back to Johnny Mathis, that was records.
Yeah, Johnny
Was Mattress. It 8-tracks? I don't know.
Johnny Mathis had a lot of things on 45.
I don't remember. Okay.
Chances are.
You know, Ike McKinnon forwarded to me on YouTube a live concert with Johnny Mathis. And it is wonderful.
Wow. He like a recent.
It's probably an older one, but okay. He sings all of his favorites. I mean, it is just
awesome.
If I can find it,
he did a lot of good Christmas recordings too.
He did. Yeah, I but
these were his favorites. Mm-hmm. It was really, really wonderful. I watched the entire thing.
Awesome. Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. When last we left our heroes, we had a set of questions from Rebecca Kennelly, and we're picking up on a hodgepodge of all sorts of different trivia. As a youth in Liverpool, John Lennon and friends played in the trees behind a Salvation Army orphanage in a garden-like location that became the title of one of the Beatles' greatest hits.
Strawberry Fields.
Forever. Makes sense. I wonder if there was actually strawberries there. That's the question. In May 2011, President Obama visited this ancestral home of his mother.
Ireland.
Hawaii? Ireland.
His mother.
Oh.
His father was from Kenya, if I remember correctly. Yep.
Kansas and Kenya, weren't they?
Kansas. She was originally from Kansas.
She was Irish?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell from the accent?
If you go way back.
I thought they were Hawaiian.
Well, I mean, they were Hawaiian from the point of view of living in Hawaii.
I know.
The largest item ever made was prepared for Bedouin feasts in the following way. The largest item ever made. I think prepared to eat.
The stuffed camel?
Just food item?
I didn't even ask the question. Oh, it's the stuffed camel.
Camel?
It says, the question continued, cooked eggs stuffed into fish, the fish into chickens, the chickens into a roasted sheep, and the sheep into what?
A camel.
Wow. I remember.
That's like a turducken.
That's a lot of sinew to cut through.
It's a Middle Eastern turducken.
It's the Middle Eastern turducken.
I think I'd leave out the mutton layer.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I can't believe that I didn't even finish
it. It's not even finger food.
Is this the camel?
What kind of sides would you serve with this?
Frankly, what wine would you serve?
Yes.
With red or white?
Which animal?
I don't know.
Quick, switch up the wines.
According to grocery statistics, more money is spent on advertising this product than any other in Western society, between $50 and $99 million a year.
Pop.
What grocery
Shampoo.
Is it? No, this is a super specific thing that is also a named product.
Doritos.
Charmin.
Doritos.
Not Doritos.
Am I in the right family?
You're getting closer
Coca-Cola,
to the right
Pepsi.
Aisle.
Oreos.
It's not
Oreos.
Snack.
Oh.
Cereal?
It's a cereal.
Oh, darn. I was going to go stuffed camel
Cheerios.
Again.
Cheerios.
Oh, yeah.
$100 million.
Aren't they self-advertised?
There is a gluten-free.
I saw that yesterday.
No, there is a gluten-free.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
wow.
right. The Grand Canyon was carved out of solid rock by the cutting action, air quotes, of what body of water?
The Colorado River.
The Colorado. Yes, absolutely.
Does Colorado mean knife?
It does now.
All right.
I think it means colored rocks. I don't know. That's what it meant.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
Oh, no, you said carved. I was thinking of a knife.
Oh, I see.
All right.
Coronado, Colorado. The earliest vineyards in California were planted in 1769 by members of a religious order. We're looking in the direction of Professor Tubbs. What religious order planted
the Franciscans?
Franciscans.
Yeah, the Franciscans.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
I was going to say the Drunkens. Oh.
Sarah.
Ernest and Julio Gallo?
No, they were the grandchildren.
I've never encountered this fact before. It's pretty interesting. Who did Adolf Hitler dictate Mein Kampf to, and under what circumstances?
He was in jail.
Yeah.
His jailer?
I think his cellmate.
Well, that is technically true. 5 people who've never been in your kitchen. But seriously, it says they were imprisoned. It was Emil Maurice and Rudolf Hess, who were his chauffeur and close friend, associate, while they were in jail.
Chauffeur in prison.
So, can you drive me down to solitary and pick me up a month later? I mean,
it was after the beer hall putsch.
What were the first names of American history legend Smith and Wesson?
Gus and Dave.
Nope.
Ben and Jerry. Laurel and Hardy.
Smith's first name was the same as a little-known Disney character who is a horse.
Horace?
Horace was his name. Horace Smith.
Horace Collins.
And I'm trying to think here. Oh, I don't know which direction I could push you in here.
Wesson. I'm thinking of Wesson Oil. Would it be Florence?
Florence Henderson.
Florence Wesson Oil?
Florence Wesson. Florence Henderson.
Right.
All right. How about we go biblical and we talk about lions?
Jebediah. No, Daniel.
Daniel. Yes. Oh, okay. Horace Smith and Daniel Wesson. Smith and Wesson on its own sounds really intimidating,
way to get
you know?
Daniel.
Yeah. Now Daniel.
I'm from a part of the country where a fair number of people have a bumper sticker that says protected by Smith and Wesson.
Oh, right.
And if you go up to the thumb, you'll see a lot more of them.
Absolutely.
It's true. No, I've never heard you referred to as Daniel. I will never think of you as a Daniel.
Thank you.
In a million years.
Dano, maybe.
I think if you were to get called Daniel, it'd be like followed by yes, officer, or yes, your honor.
Or yes, mother. Yeah. I didn't do it.
Yes, mother superior.
What about son? Daniel son.
Daniel son.
Oh, that's true.
Daniel son.
What was Harry Houdini's birth name?
Eric Weiss.
Eric Weiss.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Wow. Hey,
you remember? I took you guys downtown where he's laid out in that funeral home.
That's right. Detroit, Michigan on Halloween.
Across from the old Miami.
Henry Ford Hospital.
Oh, no. This is where they laid him out for public viewing.
I know, but he died in Henry Ford Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I laid on the same slab just to be creepy.
Wow. Speaking of creepy,
what'd I do now?
What caliber gun was used by Mark David Chapman to assassinate John Lennon?
38.
Yeah, it was a 38. So you know that. That's a creepy question.
I guessed. I was going to guess 22, 45, or 38.
Yeah. That was the only one.
Was it 38? Bobby Kennedy, or was it 22?
Okay, all right.
22? How is that big enough? But it was.
Mm-hmm. Where is Jackie Wilson, the famous singer, buried?
In the ground.
Yes, partial credit.
Detroit?
In Detroit somewhere?
It's definitely around Detroit.
Livonia.
No.
Around Detroit.
Same name as the county that we're in.
Wayne?
Yeah, he's buried in Westlawn Cemetery in Wayne in an unmarked grave.
Wow.
By 1987, a fundraiser collected enough money to purchase a marker.
That's
kind of interesting.
You know what, they put a 45 RPM adapter on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Did you take it from there?
That's where he got it.
Another little local history here. From what high school did George C. Scott, the actor, graduate
Redford.
From? In Redford.
Really?
Neighborhood rival. That's why I know. They're gone.
It's true.
And that was a beautiful building.
It was.
Yeah, it's a Myers now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are they done with that yet?
Oh, my gosh. It's a Myers now.
So. Wait, where was it?
Which means there are two Myers in Detroit.
Oh. That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah, the new one. The new one. Mm-hmm.
Redford High School was in Detroit?
Oh, yes.
Why wasn't it in Redford?
It was in Redford Township, right on the border of Redford Township.
I was supposed to go there.
Wow. Oh.
I didn't.
How tall was Andre the Giant? Famous wrestler.
7'4".
7'4". You guys are incredible.
7'4"?
Amazing.
That's how tall Ralph Sampson is, too. Wow.
I bet Andre could not dunk.
Think we need it?
No. No. Only to admit we don't recognize...
You don't recognize,
you got to
recognize. That device.
I'm again looking in Professor Tubb's direction, looking for miles for the Appalachian Trail, and how many states does it totally traverse?
2,600.
Yes, 2,600. It's about 2,400, I think, miles, but states, 13?
You know, it's 14 states, 14. And it's 2,200 miles. I mean, just full credit.
Kendra can answer for the part that goes through Kentucky, right?
Is there a part
that goes through Kentucky?
It's like that West Virginia.
I have a friend who's liked it.
It must be right next to it if it doesn't go right through it. It's very close.
We're going to consult the map while we take a break.
But I'm not from that part of...
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
They're
telling you how the pros handle
it. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it, George.
That's right. Bang. That's it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
whoa,
isn't it? Or, well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Top chick.
Yeah. There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy, that Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time, and the man said, "It's none of your business." And he said, "Oh, yes, it is." And the man said to him, "You must be Dwight L. Moody."
That's good.
Oh, dear. Super. That's wonderful.
All right, we're back with some great questions from Rebecca Kennelly, and just a follow-up on the Appalachian Trail. Appalachian, help me out, Jim. Appalachian. I mean,
either one.
Okay. 14 states, Maine to Georgia is what it says. Yep. So we can sort of see it in the reflection on our map. Okay, what baseball star's aches and pains cost the New York Mets $5,000 in 1987?
1987?
Mm-hmm. Daryl Strawberry?
Is that what
aches
it says?
Aches and pains.
And I'm sorry, I cannot remember.
I know the Mets
the
lineup from
86,
but man.
Wow.
I'm thinking, not
big Mets fan. Aches and pains cost them $5,000. Is this like a
Gary
trick
Carter?
Question?
Gary Carter is what it says. So how do you know that? Number one. Number two.
I remember. That's all. I'm just trying to think. Famous Mets.
All right. So Mookie led off, and then I think Howard Johnson.
Yep.
Followed by I don't know who was third.
Holiday.
Keith Hernandez. Then Gary Carter.
And then Andre.
Rafael Santana.
That's right.
Oh no, Strawberry must
good
have been
grief.
In there somewhere. That was a big fan back then.
The Subway Series.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
I thought it was 2000.
Well, why did the aches and pains cost them?
I know. I need to. What's the rest of the story?
Did he do
$5,000? Is that a big amount back in 86?
Not really.
For the Mets?
Was it some weird endorsement or something? Maybe.
Or did he mention that he had a pain in the something on like national TV?
Oh, that could be it. That could be it.
I broke a nail. Put me on the DL.
Yeah, exactly. Who succeeded Gamal Abdel Nasser as president of Egypt?
Sadat
is what it says.
Sadat. Or Sadat.
Mm-hmm. What singer decided long ago, living in Metro Detroit, to drop her last name, Chacon?
Madonna.
Everybody in concert. Awesome. We could probably have a series of questions about things like this, but this is out of the blue and it's kind of fun. What space would you land on if you roll a 7 on your first turn of Monopoly?
Chance.
Yeah, chance.
What?
I could tell you all the Monopoly squares.
In between
seriously?
Vermont.
Yeah, I played Marathon Monopoly.
All right.
Wow. We used to, like, literally at the end of the
we
day,
don't need to
write
be here.
Down we're everything just... and then go home and come back and start all over again.
Wow. Oh, wow.
We had credit. Wow.
Oh,
my credit.
I played with credit.
Credit.
Wow.
So you could really go bankrupt.
Oh, yeah.
You could be way in arrears.
Oh, my gosh.
So do the other players give the credit out so they can call it in at any time?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, everybody had a credit limit, so had a little bit more money than you started with. So,
you guys are hardcore. Mm. You still do this?
No, I haven't done that in a while.
Okay.
Wow.
I still play online.
What's the chemical symbol for iron?
Fe.
I was gonna let Kendra have that one.
Yep.
I wasn't gonna touch that one.
Sorry there.
In case I was gonna blow it. So.
Let's see. We're finishing these up. These are some good questions. I like the fact that they're a hodgepodge. Sometime. Where are the Pyrenees Mountains?
In Pyrenees?
France, Switzerland.
Spain and France. I'm going to give you guys half credit each together.
I just remember the dogs, that's all. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if we've ever talked about something like this. There was a species of bird that was domesticated first, based on tradition. What was it?
Pigeon? Carrier pigeon?
No.
Chicken?
Nope.
Does it taste like chicken?
No.
Yes. Although it's a little fattier.
Turkey?
Nope.
No, a goose.
Goose is what it says. Wow. It was domesticated.
Why
first.
Goose over?
Is that why they have so many of those clothes that you can put on those geese on your front porch?
So that they can show their domestic.
Who made those?
It's true.
It's not an art school project.
Maybe I should. My favorite is the little slicker with the yellow hat. Oh. You know,
the deer stalker.
I'm having a flashback the second you say that of like shopping at a big box store and the kids kind of seeing the costumes for sale and going like, Dad, like this is just the costume, right? And they're like, Dad, do people actually like dress geese up like this? I'm like, no, it's a stone goose. It's not a real goose. You know? Although I suppose you could do that. They do it to dogs all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's cruel.
Yeah. I like to see somebody do it to a goose.
Good luck.
See how domesticated.
A little feisty. Canada goose.
Canadian
goose. That will be wandering around here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
They never leave.
Right? Yeah.
We have a set of interesting questions about water and Detroit sent in by Anonymous.
Oh, man.
Aww. Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. Ooh.
The hacking group?
No.
Oh, good. No. So I get these wrong. I don't want to accidentally lose all my data.
The Detroit Water and Sewerage Department provides drinking water to what percentage of the state of the state of Michigan's population?
42%.
Yeah, 40%.
40% is what it says.
Wow. Gosh,
that's
a lot. I mean, and it's good water. That must make sense, right?
Southeast Michigan.
Yeah. 10 million a lot of people.
Up to this has the best tasting water of any place I've ever been.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Best water.
Yeah. All right. If you guys get this one off the top of your head, I'm taking off my shoes, wandering into the hills, and never coming
stuffed
back.
Camel. Stuffed camel.
Gosh. The Detroit Water and Sewerage System has 3 intakes. Where do they get their water?
From the Detroit River. One's by Belle Isle.
Let's see. Yes, that is true. Near the mouth of Lake St. Clair.
Right.
Yeah.
Farther down on the river?
Like Wayne, Wyandotte?
Yes, further down in the river.
Trenton.
There's one. See what's going on here.
Do we have to be specific?
The water treatment plant on Jefferson is one, right?
Jim nailed it right on. I mean, there's one near the mouth of Lake St. Clair. So just north of Belle Isle. Absolutely. Where's the other two?
Intakes, I don't know, right downtown by the GM building?
Mm-mm. Pretty far away, actually.
Not next to Thug Island.
It's way down there. It's actually near the opening to Lake Erie.
So oh,
where
wow.
the strait meets Lake Erie. And where's the other one?
Near the nuclear power plant.
Yeah, I did say Monroe.
Irradiated.
No, I'm sorry. So you were closest.
Yeah. The water glows.
But the other one is quite a bit further north.
Lake Huron?
Yeah, it's on Lake Huron. Oh. It says wow. So that's where our water comes from, at least on this side of the state. Mm. How many water treatment plants are operated by DWSD?
7.
No.
Darn.
3.
That would have been awesome.
3.
Not 3.
15.
5 is the
answer. 5.
We were circling it.
4 on the river.
You were circling the drain.
Pretty much.
Yep. So that was fun. That was actually all the questions. There were actually good questions.
Those were
good
questions. I wanted more. Thank you, Anonymous.
Anonymous has sent in another set of questions.
Oh,
and
good.
Just heard the other day, did anybody actually see the Ian McKellen, Mr. Holmes, is that what it's called?
Yes, the movie that came out? I did not see the movie.
Mark Benvenuto was raving about it. And we have some wonderful questions here about
like that look.
Sherlock Holmes. So.
Yeah, ages.
Have you seen Benedict Cumberbatch?
What about him? Sherlock.
Alan Turing?
He does his Sherlock show on
PBS.
That's very
fantastic.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's on PBS? I thought it was on Netflix.
Well, maybe available on Netflix. It is on Netflix because I watched it, but I'm waiting for the 4th season. It's really good. He's so good.
Yeah.
I just hate the character.
He's the new Doctor Strange, too.
Cool. Holmes, in general?
Yeah.
He's just sort of socially inept.
No. Oh, he's rude.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think
the real Sherlock Holmes wasn't like that.
There's no real Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, there is.
It's fictional.
What?
Right. Easter Bunny, Santa Claus,
but he's always had a bit of. He was always a little arrogant and
kids
impatient.
The geese don't
there
was
a real Sherlock Holmes. Just ask Sir Arthur Conan the Barbarian.
Sir Arthur Conan
the Barbarian
O'Brien.
Oh,
yes. What is the full name of Sherlock Holmes' oft-present companion and biographer?
Dr. John Watson,
M.D. You know what his middle initial is?
W?
It is not.
I had a 1 in 26 chance.
It is H.
Horatio?
Probably, actually. That's pretty good.
Or Horace.
Who is Mr. Holmes' landlady?
Mrs. Oh,
I can't remember the name.
I can picture her on the TV show.
Because of the name?
Hudson?
It does. Hudson, yes.
Hudson, yes.
Hudson.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I saw the H.
And his principal address.
221B Baker Street.
It's an it's in a half. It's
221B.
221B.
221B. Yeah. 221 Baker Street.
Didn't that start
upstairs?
London West.
Karen Valentine. Oh no, that's room 222. My bad.
222. Karen Valentine or Karen Black?
Karen Valentine.
Karen Valentine.
Don't confess these things on radio.
Oh yeah,
radio.
Oh, yeah,
Kendra
right.
Doesn't even
it's
know
okay.
Who that is.
Michael will edit it out. So.
Oh yeah, sure. How many of Sherlock Holmes' adventures were chronicled? So this is the way that the response is put into two categories of long story, short story, and then of course adding those two numbers together.
Oh,
I don't know. 47. 47.
47 is low, but closer to just the long or short stories numbers.
Wow.
Huh.
So 68.
So I'm giving you short.
82.
For 56, it's actually 120 individual stories.
Wow. I did not know
64
that.
Long, 56 short stories. Wow.
Oh, I would have guessed more short.
Oh
than
my god,
that's amazing. Hmm? How many Encyclopedia Browns were there?
Another good question.
Right. I don't have the answer. I was just asking you.
I'm impressed that you brought that up because I was just reading about Encyclopedia Brown this morning, and I was obsessive over those books when I was growing up, and I tried to get my kids to read the updated version. Mm-hmm. They could give a crap. I'm like, look, every chapter's only 3 pages long. It's great.
Everything's online.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable. I'll tell you a story sometime about... I don't even know how to put this, but I think I became socially aware reading an Encyclopedia Brown book. I'll tell you about it later. What was the name of Sherlock Holmes' unofficial detecting organization?
I
didn't know that he had one.
He did.
That's why it was unofficial.
It was a little bit of a joke, a little bit of British humor.
So the word society.
We shall refer to ourselves as it does not say.
The Knights Who Say Knee. Oh.
No.
Society. We had a society.
No society, society, no organization.
Group.
It's based on the street where he lives.
The Baker Street Group?
The Baker Street Thugs?
The Baker's Dozen.
Baker Street Irregulars is what they call them.
Well, they were irregular.
But isn't that something you buy at Birch Run? I mean,
Or worse. Could you name two of the four total out of the 120 stories? There were four Scotland Yard detectives mentioned by name. Can you name two of them?
Is one of them named Nigel?
Nope.
It's a pretty fairly common British name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
George.
Miles.
Clive.
I go with every.
All right.
Scotty.
Are we looking for first names here?
Think of it.
You know, it has first and last names.
Oh, dear Lord.
Any Arrested Development fans in the room?
No.
No. Where's Roy?
It's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be very, very
tough. Are they traditional Scottish names?
How about we go with the best known of them? Appears in many, many movies and stories. The more recent ones with Robert Downey Jr. had this character as the connection to Scotland Yard.
Time for us all to look up.
Totally leaving you hanging.
Inspector Bell.
We are going to have to say goodbye, Professor Manica.
Goodbye.
Professor Roach.
I'm just going to let the needle play out.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Bye.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile. Thank you.